But it is awesome. We're talking in the next few weeks about a series called Reaching Port. By the way, my name's Evan. I'm the lead pastor in this church. And if you're new here, we're so glad that you're here with us. There is room for you. We if there's not, we'll make room. We're always trying to make room for more people to come and be part of this with us because we just believe that we've got the best news in the world, that Jesus loves you where you're at right now. He died for you where you're at right now. He believes in you where you're at right now. He wants to change your life from where you're at right now. So welcome here wherever you're at right now. But anyways, we're in this new series called Reaching Port. And we're going to be talking for the next few weeks about what it looks like to be a church that is sending, that is reaching to new places, that is trying new things, that is trying to reach different people. Does anyone feel like we've got something good going on here at Northgate? Yes. Come on. I don't know if you know this, but we had some people estimated even up to 60 people, but we had about 50 people that showed up here every morning at 6 a.m. from Monday to Friday this week to pray. Is that cool or what? That is cool. If you're not clapping, you might be just feeling a little bit like, oh, shoot, I forgot about that. I don't know what I should do right now with my hands. But it is really cool. If you weren't there, it's not saying why weren't you there. I'm saying 60 people, 50 people, whatever it was, showed up to pray at 6 a.m. to 7 a.m. five times this week here. And it wasn't just the oldest that have been forever praying. We had people in their teens. We had people in their 20s who were showing up every single week. And showing up to pray. God is doing something unique and amazing here. God's doing something special here. Was anyone at worship night on Thursday night? A mom. Man, that was something else. Like, if you weren't here, worship night, when we first started worship night, it was great and it was awesome, but it wasn't full. This last worship night that we did, I mean, this whole bottom section was like full, fuller than it is right now, full. And it was just like amazing to be part of that and to see, like, this isn't a Sunday morning. This isn't checklist stuff. Yeah, get my religious weekly thing out of the way and now we're done. This is the extra. This is the above and beyond. This is because people want to engage relationship with Jesus, want to grow in their gifts with him, want to experience his Holy Spirit and be sent out by him on mission. And so this is what we're seeing at our church. And I just feel like we've got something so good that we've got to figure out how to multiply it. How to take what we've got here and reach other places with it, go other places with it, to find out how to be a church that's moving into new ports. Finding new places to land, finding new places to show up and say, I don't know if you know some of what we know, but what we've seen God doing here, we want to bring here. We want you to see it. We want you to experience it. We want to be a church that's ascending church. I often hear people say, we're ascending church. And sometimes what that means is they say, no one wants to stay here, so we just better call ourselves something positive. We'll just call ourselves ascending church. But for me, what I want with that is I want to be a church that sees something so great here. That God is clearly so blessing something here that we need to do it more places. I recently read in a book from a guy, he said this, he said, take a look at what God is blessing and do more of it. As far as church ministry goes, take a look at what God is blessing and then just do that more for more people in more places. Just do it more. Because there's maybe nothing wrong with how a lot of people are doing something, but God seems to be blessing this. God seems to be putting momentum here, so do more of it. And so I want to look at, for the next little, or for today anyways, what in the early church, the first churches after Jesus died, rose from the dead, his disciples were trying to figure out how to share the good news of Jesus' gift of grace to the world. And in that time, churches were sending, churches were reaching, churches were doing new things, churches were taking the momentum that was happening in one place and moving it all over, and they were setting up new plants and new campuses and doing all of that all over the region. And so I want to go back and look at some of those early churches and figure out, what in the world did they have? What did they do? Like, what was so special about them? Because often when we think about, what do you need to multiply out? Or what do you need to reach? Or what do you need to send? You think, well, you need a certain surplus in your budget. You need a certain caliber of leadership. You need a certain number of people. You know, you need a certain, you need to have taken care of these all certain things. You need all of this stuff. And so I wanted to go back to the early church to see, what did they do? What did they have? What was going on there? What did they have that God was multiplying? And so we're going to look at a church called Antioch, and you're going to see soon why we're going to look in the city of Antioch to figure out what they were up to. In Acts 11, 19 to 26, it's pretty soon after Jesus has died, risen from the dead, sent his disciples out to change the world, and that all was happening more over in Jerusalem. But in Jerusalem, what took place is there was all this persecution. There was all this all these people were being killed, and all these people were being martyred. And so eventually, it scattered the church. Earlier, we find that out in Acts, and here in Acts 11, we see the result. It says, "Now those who had been scattered by the persecution that broke out when Stephen was killed." Stephen was this martyr who died in Acts 7. We see this guy named Stephen, and he's proclaiming the gospel. What's the gospel? He's saying Jesus, who died on the cross, was and is God, and he died for yours and my sin. And if you will turn to him, you can be clean and free and righteous, and you can know his forgiveness of your sins. And we don't like that. And so they stoned him and killed him. And the church scattered. When Stephen was killed, traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, spreading the word only among Jews. This is a ministry so far only among the religious. Only among those who were religiously right. Only among those who so far were pretty close to their similar ideas, pretty close to what they believed. Only so far they were going to go to those people at that point. And some of them, however, men from Cyprus and Cyrene, went to Antioch and began to speak to Greeks also. This was crazy. Doesn't sound crazy to us. We don't quite understand some of the racial tensions at the time. But this was shocking because always the idea that the Pharisees and most of the religious people had was that God was going to save one group of people. He was going to do something great for one group of people. He was going to save just us. If he's going to come do his mighty work, if the Messiah is going to show up, it's going to be for us. And so let's make sure all of us know that, and all of us are aware of that, and all of us are walking the way that we need to be walking, so that when God comes, he can save us. And here we see that maybe for the first time, at least for the first recorded time, now they start talking to them. Them are all of a sudden included in the discussion. The them are now being spoken with. Some of the scattered church are showing up and saying, well, these are Greeks, they're not Jews, but who else are we going to talk to? We're scattered. We're in a city that's not Jewish. We're in a city that doesn't have all of us, and so we're just in a city full of them. What should we do? Well, there's good news to be told. Why don't we tell it? And so they start telling the Greeks. Telling them about the Lord Jesus. And the Lord's hand was with them. And I love this. And a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. Does that matter? That matters. That matters. A great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. That matters. If someone tells you it doesn't matter if people come to know Jesus, it doesn't matter the number, it doesn't matter how big, it doesn't matter how many, I got to tell you, you need to go read the Bible, because when you read the Bible, they're always talking about numbers. And the early church are saying 1,000 were added, or daily God added to their number. Over and over, more came and more came and more came. And we need to know that, because that's a sign of life. That's the good news when people are added to the church. People want to be part of what Jesus is doing. If people aren't added to the church, let's all go to heaven. Let's leave them. But God's saying, I don't want them to be them anymore. I want them to be us. Bring them in. Bring them here. Bring them to me. Let them hear my story. So that's what happened. They start talking to these Greeks. And all of a sudden, people start turning to the Lord. So then they start a church. Church, who knows what it looked like? Probably not like this. I bet they didn't have quite the lighting and sound. And probably didn't have quite the building. They probably didn't have a lot of the things that we have going on here. But they started meeting together and they started having a mission. They were people who believed in Jesus and they had mission to do what he had called them to do. They were all, just like Pastor Allen said, they were all broken people who had discovered that there was a Savior who loved them in the midst of their brokenness and decided, you know what? Let's just go ahead and celebrate this on a regular basis. Let's come together and talk about this on a regular basis. And then let's tell as many people as we can. Okay? Let's do that. And so it starts with all of these them people, with all of these Greeks. It starts from these people who were scattered because of the persecution. So it carries on. News of this reached the church in Jerusalem. Jerusalem is the us, remember. Jerusalem is the pure state. You know, it's the place where most of the religious people are gathered together, and they've got church there. If there's going to be any good work, everyone thinks that it's going to come from Jerusalem, and Jerusalem hears that something's going on in Antioch. So, well, hold up a sec. What's going on? Antioch? Antioch's full of Greeks. Like, Antioch's full of them. How is something good happening with them? How is something God happening with them? How is this movement taking place amongst them when we're not saying, what's going on? Someone go and check it out. And so they sent Barnabas to Antioch. Now, Barnabas is a pretty special guy in the church. In fact, I think they send maybe their best, maybe their most significant player. Go check this out, Barnabas. Barnabas is a guy, we don't know a ton about him, but we know they name him son of encouragement. He encourages people. He's an encourager. We know that he sold his house, gave all the money to the church so that the church could move forward. Like, we know some pretty special things about Barnabas. And so they're like, something is going on amongst them in Antioch, and it's not happening amongst us. Barnabas, you who have done crazy, amazing things, would you just go? Go see what's going on. You know, there's great things happen. We do have leadership here, and we have seen things happen here. But Antioch, can you go check it out? And so Barnabas goes. And when he arrived, he saw that the grace of God had done. He was glad and encouraged them to all remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith. And here we go. And a great number of people were brought to the Lord. Does that matter? Come on. That matters. Matters enough that Luke, who wrote Acts, he decided, I better put that in both of these paragraphs. There's only two paragraphs. I better write that down twice because that's good. I like that. I'm going to get some amens on that one. He's thinking, I want to encourage the people. I don't want them to forget from one paragraph to the next that the Lord was adding to their number daily, that the Lord was bringing a multitude out amongst them. And that when Barnabas showed up, he looked around and he was a seasoned religious person who had done amazing things amongst the us. He had done amazing things amongst the Jews. And there he was showing up amongst them, probably with a bit of a skeptical eye. And he says, yep, it is good. I bless you. And more are coming to know Jesus every day. And Barnabas is pumped about this. He's excited about this. He's glad about this. And so Barnabas recognizes, well, let's put some leadership in here. These guys are all pretty new to this. Let's put a few people who have been seasoned. Let's put a few people in who have experienced something great, who can sort of lead this church forward. Who should we get? We should get one of the best leaders. We should get someone who's really great. And Barnabas tries to plan who he's going to get. It says, then Barnabas went to Tarsus. If you know the Bible, you know who was in Tarsus. Because what happened here was that there was this guy named Saul, not long before. And this guy named Saul was on his way to Damascus, and Saul had been regularly persecuting the church. He was an us, regularly persecuting those who were starting to look a little bit too much like them. He was the us who were starting to follow Jesus. He was persecuting them, and Saul was persecuting them so much that God had to put a stop to it. And God eventually slapped Saul on his back and said, "Hey, stop it." And Saul, on the road to Damascus, on his way to persecute the church, on his way to persecute those who were following Jesus, was hit by Jesus in such a huge way that he started preaching in Damascus, then he started preaching in Jerusalem, and he too was persecuted so heavily there that the church moved him up to Tarsus. He's waiting in Tarsus, and Barnabas, when he goes to Antioch, goes, I know the perfect person to come and lead in this church. Saul, who's now Paul. I'm going to go get him. And now this is where the story, I haven't heard this story told this way. I feel like I've missed out all of these years, and so I'm giving you a gift today at home. I've missed out all of these years on the hilarity of what in the world was going on at this church in Antioch, which is about to become the most prolific sending church in the Bible. And here in Antioch, imagine how this church had started, right? Like, it started with a guy who showed up in Antioch. Like, he meets a Greek person. The Greek person said, "Hey, you new to town?" "Yeah, I am. It seems really great around here in Antioch." "Yeah, where are you from?" "Oh, I'm from back home. You know, I'm from over there a little ways." "And oh yeah, what brought you here?" A persecution. You know, I'm sort of moving away because it was getting a little bit crazy. My friend Stephen stoned to death. So I'm just here because of that." "Oh, why were they persecuting you?" "Oh, we followed this guy named Jesus who died on the cross and rose from the dead. And so that's that. "Oh, okay. So what are you going to do now?" "Well, for now, I'm just wondering if you want to follow Jesus too. Like, what do you think? Is it something?" "Yeah, I'd like to." "Okay, well, why don't we start a church?" And that was the church, right? And so this church was started by people who were fleeing a persecution because Stephen died. Now catch this. Barnabas is going to get a leader for this church now. He's going to get the best leader he can think of for this church now. And he's heading to Tarsus to go and get the person who stood by and held jackets while people killed Stephen. Can you imagine that? Like, imagine sitting in the church service. "Welcome to church. Great to see you. Like, would you tell me your story?" And because my story is that I fled here and from because my friend Stephen was killed. And they're like, "What? Wow, that's a crazy story. Did they ever catch the guy?" "Yeah, he's about to preach this morning's message." Isn't that great? Like, he's about to preach this morning's message. I ran from him one time. You know, he sent me away from Jerusalem, but now we called him back to Antioch, and now he's our leader. Isn't that awesome? What a hilarious church. We think of, like, what does it take for a church to become the church that God would send people from? I don't know that there's a clearer picture than Antioch. It says, when Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul, then he went to Tarsus and looked for Saul, and when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. So for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught great numbers of people. Three paragraphs, three times, it tells us about the numbers of people. Does it matter? Yes. The disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. They were made fun of for it at Antioch, sort of called little Christs. Oh, little Christs, cuties, you know. That's how they were first called, in Antioch, not in Jerusalem, in Antioch. Why? Because Jerusalem, they persecuted them, but they sort of got the religious thing. Here in Antioch, it didn't make sense. Like, what are you doing following Jesus? Like, what are you talking about? You little Christs. Burn. Here's what a sending church needs, based on what I see here. Because in a second, we're going to talk about how all of a sudden they sent out. Here's what a sending church needs. They need a Jew. They need someone who's going to show up to a city, recognize that there are people here that are different than them, people here that believe different than them, people here that don't get the same things as him, but people here, or her, but people here that need to hear the good news they have. This, whoever started this church, we don't even know their name. Whoever started this church, they show up there and they've been running from the reality of persecution. And God says, "Great, now that you've spread out, I didn't know what it was going to take to spread you out. I didn't know it was just going to take a little persecution, but okay, fine. Now we've spread you guys out. Now go ahead and share with the people around you who are so different than you, who you never would have thought would receive the gospel." A church that's going to be a sending church, a church that's going to be a healthy church, a growing church, a thriving church, needs to be a church that has people in it who recognize that those who are not like them need to hear the gospel, need to hear the good news. The second thing that a healthy church needs is the Greek. They need the person who hasn't yet heard the gospel coming to know Jesus. A healthy church needs people coming to know Jesus. Otherwise, Luke wouldn't have told us that a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. A great number of people were brought to the Lord. And a great number of people, three times, he wouldn't have told us that unless that was important to a growing, healthy, thriving church. A church that's going to send needs the people who are recognizing those around them as needing to hear the gospel, and it also needs people around them receiving the gospel. It needs the Jew, it needs the Greek. It also needs the Barnabas. The Barnabas is the person who recognizes the gifting in unlikely places. Barnabas, like, who should I get to lead these people? I know. That murderous... That murderous guy who's currently, he's been like persecuted from, he's been sent away from the Christians because he was causing too much persecution. He's away in Tarsus. I'm going to go get him. We've got a church like that, by the way. We've got a church that recognizes gifting and leadership in unlikely places. I know that because I've been on the receiving end of it. I was an unlikely leader for this church. And here we are. The last thing the church needs is a Paul. Or a few of them. They need some people who are willing to recognize that God's power for their future is greater than their failure in their past. They need some people who recognize that God can use them as leaders even though their past isn't clean and their slate isn't clean. None of you have probably, I'm pretty sure, none of you have stood by while people were martyred. Under your watch. I'm pretty sure most of you didn't intentionally put lots of people in prison and have them systematically persecuted. I'm pretty sure most of you haven't done that. And if the person who did do that was used to lead the most prolifically sending church in the New Testament, in the history, probably, of our world, if God used that person, then he can use you. And we need that type of people around. Who say, my past doesn't determine me. Maybe your past is that you just sort of haven't really cared or haven't really done much or haven't really worried. Or maybe it is that you've actually really turned against the church. We have people sitting in here today who used to mock the church. I know them. I know some of our friends here in this place who used to mock the church and mock Christians. And here they are serving Jesus within this church. We need people like that. And so we need those four pieces. I want to take a second. Just before, I'm not quite done. I've got a little bit more to share, including a cool announcement. But I want you to think about, who are you? Are you the Jew? Is God calling you to be in a place where you need to start recognizing others around you who don't know Jesus and recognize that they need to hear it, and you might be the voice they need? Are you the Greek today? Today you might be a person in church, you're not sure why you're here, you're not sure what led you here, something compelled you, something moved you, maybe a friend invited you, maybe you've just thought about it for a long time and all of a sudden you think, well, I'm just here and it's coincidence that he's talking about. God didn't bring you here by coincidence. God has ordained this meeting with you. He's called you to this place. He's welcomed you here today and he says, you're part of this church growing and being healthy. You're part of what this church needs to go forward and lead forward. God might be saying to you, you are the one who today needs to come to know me, who today needs to turn to me and recognize me and know me as your Lord and Savior and know the hope that I can put in you. You're the one who is going to spark something in this church because today is your day of salvation. Today might be your day. You might be that Greek sitting here today. Unsure of where you stand, God says by the end of this day, you can be sure of where you stand with God. If you would just turn to Jesus and be part of that story. And if that's the case, we're going to end off this sermon today with, I'm going to play a video about baptisms, our last baptism, and you can make a decision today to follow Jesus with your life. Next week, you can get baptized in this tank, and we can celebrate you. Come on, let's do that. Maybe today you're the Barnabas, and you say, I got to be Barnabas. I've forgotten how to encourage people. I've forgotten how to recognize gifting in unlikely places. You need to be reminded that you may have a long history in faith. You may have sold your house and given all the proceeds to the church. You may have done some incredible things. You may be called son or daughter of encouragement. You may have done that in the past, but God is saying, hey, what about your future? What leader, what unlikely leader needs to hear from you now? Or maybe you're the Paul. And you've said, there's nothing good in me. I don't think, I've got a pretty bad past. I probably can't do much of anything in this church. Maybe today it's your time to recognize, yeah, step up. You've been wondering about small group leadership. It's time to get in. You've been wondering about serving and guest service. It's time to get in. You've been wondering about kids ministry. Time to jump in. Okay, that's what we need. Antioch had the Jew, the Greek, the Barnabas, the Paul. We need the Jew, the Greek, the Barnabas, the Paul. When we have that, we've got the personality that the Lord seems to bless. Now, I see that there's two things that the Holy Spirit does in this church that are signs that it's time to send. One, he gives them momentum. Do you see momentum at Northgate? Come on, we got momentum here. We see something going on, and then God gives them, the Holy Spirit gives them momentum, and then the Holy Spirit gives them vision for multiplying that momentum. And I believe God is giving us that vision for multiplying that momentum. He's starting to show us what it's going to look like. He's starting to show us what it's going to mean to multiply out what he's already blessing here, what he's pushing forward here. In Acts 13, 1-3, it says, now in the church at Antioch, there were these prophets, and Barnabas, Simeon, called Niger, Lucius, Cyrene, Manaen, and Saul. And while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, now set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work in which I have called them. In other words, the Holy Spirit starts speaking and saying, hey, I've got a plan beyond you, Antioch. Antioch, you've got the Jew, the Greek, the Barnabas, the Paul. You're thriving, you're growing, you're healthy, you're looking good. And now I want to multiply this out. I want you to send Paul and Barnabas. And so begins the rest of the New Testament, where Paul is pastoring the church in Philippi and Thessalonica and Corinth and moving into Rome, and all of a sudden all of this stuff starts happening because this church in Antioch that was so unlikely, led by an unlikely leader, started out of persecution. This church starts planting and moving things, and churches start growing and thriving out of this church. And I believe God is calling us into the same place today, that whatever it took to get us here, God's saying, I don't want you to just be here. There's a new step for you to get there. And what I'm doing here, I want to take there, and I want to multiply the momentum that is in this place. And so, when I moved to this town, I remember feeling like God was giving us leaders, too many leaders for just here. God was giving us too much to just keep it in this place. I felt that early on. I said, well, God, show me what you want to do. And he gave me lots of vision for what's going on in the city, and there's still so much more to do in this city. We still want to be part of so much more. But he also started giving me a burden for some cities on our island, some other cities that I felt like God was starting to call us into and prepare my heart for. And one of those cities was Port Alberni. And as I would pray about that, I'm like, why is my heart breaking for Port Alberni? Like, what do you want to do there? And I'd always say, God, you just show me what to do, and we'll do it. But until you do, we're not going to touch that. And I'd have people showing up to our church that would drive down from Port Alberni. And they'd be showing up saying, I want this. Whatever's going on here, I want this in Port Alberni. We had a couple that were coming to this church for a while, and they kept every week, would you do this in Port Alberni? Would you come to Port Alberni? We need the life that's going on here. We need this there. And we've had these connections. I started hearing about the city and about some of the church history and some of what's gone on in that city. And my heart would start to break. I'd say, Lord, show me who. Show me what you want to do. How are we going to do that, because I don't want to go there if we don't have someone with a burden for that city. All of a sudden, a year or two later, my friend Rob shows up on the scene, coming out of a kind of a challenging past in ministry. He shows up to Port Alberni, in which he promised his wife he'd never live. She's from there. He goes and lives in Port Alberni. He comes to me and says, I don't know what's going on. I'm actually starting to fall in love with the city. I'm feeling the burden of God for the city. I don't know what's going on. And my wheels are turning. I'm thinking, I do know what's going on. I know exactly what's happening here. And so he plants himself there. They buy a house. What in the world? We're buying a house in Port Alberni? I will never live here. Here's the check. Thank you very much. And they buy a house, they plant themselves, they start living there, they decide it's going to happen. He sort of gets involved in a church, realizes his heart and his burden for Port Alberni is exceeding what he's part of and what he's surrounded by in that moment, feeling like there's something more that he wants to see happen, something more he wants to do and doesn't know how to do. He calls me up, says, F, we need to talk. We get together, we start talking. He says, what could we do together in Port Alberni? What could we launch in Port Alberni? I'm thinking, well, it's funny you should ask, because for years I've been praying, God, would you show me the person? And now you're saying, God, would you show me the way? And so, Rob, I think I got a way, and I think I'm looking at the person. And so all of a sudden we said, let's start moving towards this. We started dreaming. We brought on Rob as the apprentice, sneakily. Said, we're gonna let him take on our culture, feel what's going on here, feel what's happening here, and see if he loves it. And I'm so happy to tell you that because of that, because of that process, because we feel like we've got the Jew, the Greek, the Barnabas, the Paul, because we feel like we've got the momentum of God, because we believe we've got a vision and now we've got the person to lead it, we're excited to tell you that we plan on launching a Northgate Port Alberni campus in September 2019. Come on! Come on! This year we're going to do it. Now do you get the title? Reaching Port, come on. And we want you to be a part of this. We're gonna talk about this for the next few weeks. What it's gonna mean for us. Next week, we've got Pastor Rob preaching to us. He's gonna share with us the readiness. I'm telling you about the readiness of this church. He's gonna share with us the readiness of that city. And we're going to start talking about where we're going to go with this, what it's going to look like, what it's going to mean to us. This year is going to require something of us, but I want to tell you something. God brings us more to life when we answer the call to his requirements and what he's asking us to do than any other time. And we want to share, we want to be open, we want to let you know what's going on, but we want you to be a part of it. And in the midst of it, let's be a healthy church that has both the Jew, the Greek, the Barnabas, and the Paul. And in 2019, we're going to celebrate. The reach is expanding. God is doing something greater because the Holy Spirit has put momentum here and has put a vision for sending there. It's going to be a good year.